This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Another candidate interview today, incumbent Douglas County Commissioner Chris Boyce in position 3. Running for re-election. Thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Always glad to be here with you, Kyle.
So talk about, for people that maybe are newer to the area or not as familiar politically with things, talk about your background, your career, your life, things
sure.
like that.
So I grew up on the southern Oregon coast and moved to Douglas County in 1994 in pursuit of a cute blonde gal from Myrtle Creek. And I worked a few jobs around and landed working part-time as a second job at Big O Tires and was given an opportunity by the corporate office to buy that store back in 2002. So I've been a small business owner in Douglas County since 2002. And since then, I've opened another small business in town and done a little bit in investing in real estate. But 7 years ago or so, I was sort of involved in local politics, you know, as a small business owner trying to influence policy to help business owners and helping some other candidates get elected that shared the same views as I did. And I recognized an opportunity to get more involved in politics when former County Commissioner Doug Robertson resigned from the County Commission. And I recognized an opportunity to serve in that capacity and still be able to be here locally to raise my kids and run my businesses. So I was fortunate enough to win that election in 2014, and I've been a county commissioner and a small business owner and a husband and a dad ever since.
So how much before that had you begun to consider running at some point for political office?
You know, it was a few years, and really it kind of started with people approaching me, asking me to consider it, and getting involved in policy making on behalf of small businesses and being involved in the NFIB, which is the National Federation of Independent Business. But more importantly, it was an opportunity to be able to get involved and still serve locally and not have to go to Salem for most of the year or part of the year. And I did a lot of research. You know, I went to the county commission meetings and I met with county commissioners and Doug Robertson and Susan Morgan at the time and former Commissioner Mike Winters. And I did a lot of preparation trying to understand what the job was and asking people who had done it whether or not they believed that I had the skill set to do the work myself, and whether or not they felt like with my life experiences I'd be good at it, and you know, it's sort of everyone pointed towards go, and so I jumped in, and I've been doing that work ever since.
So when Commissioner Robertson opted to leave his term early, how long was the process for you from what was for many people kind of a surprise announcement to jumping in?
So I actually heard him on your show announce his resignation, and I turned around and drove to the courthouse that same day and met with him that afternoon after he was on Inside Douglas County. And I spent a while talking to him, and I met with Commissioner Morgan the next day, and then I spent the next couple weeks meeting with the CFO from the county and getting copies of the budget and reviewing the budget and meeting with Mike Winters and trying to really get my head around what county government really was and where the money came from and what the challenges were. And, you know, if you remember at that point, we were on a pretty rapid pace headed towards insolvency, where the county was spending millions and millions and millions of dollars every year out of its reserves and scheduled to run out of money in just a short time. So I really had to get my head around how all that worked. And it took a couple weeks before I decided that I was going to really pursue it and made the announcement that I was going to run.
So what do you think your best contributions to the board have been over the last several years?
You know, it absolutely has to do with the lessons that I've learned in finance and running business in my adult life. So I had, you know, as a young adult, I wasn't smart with my money and had some financial challenges. And I had an opportunity to buy and run and own a business. And when you sign the front of the paycheck, it's a lot different than signing the back and having to meet payroll and having to live within a budget and having to anticipate next year's revenues based on this year's performance. Those are all things that I was able to bring to this job and apply to it, and have made a huge difference. You know, we've made a significant turnaround in the last 7 years. The county was scheduled to spend about $20 million out of reserves the first year that I became a commissioner. And again, that budget was passed by the previous commissioners because we come in the middle of the fiscal year. And in the last 2 years, we put about $8 million back into reserves. And that took some strategic planning and some execution and some investments in some things and a lot of work in Washington, D.C. And on federal policy in order to make that all come together.
How did you kind of work with the other commissioners on crafting that plan? Because that was a big shift.
Yeah, so first was, you know, pretty simple. We take a look at the structure of state and county government, and we take and see what's statutorily required. I mean, you remember back then there was a big conversation about libraries, and the reason they were the talk was because that's not a service that the counties are required by state law to provide. So we had to look at what was necessary first and then prioritize out of what was necessary, what was most important, and public safety was that. And then we, you know, made some strategic investments and implemented some revenue strategies in like the Parks Department in order to bring it all together and make it come full circle.
So as you look at your time on the board, is there any one thing that you would say you're the most proud of?
Yeah, I would say the Parks Department. You know, it was a very, very difficult politically decision to make to implement day-use parking fees in county parks. It's hard to go out and ask your citizens, a lot of whom, you know, are recreating in the county parks because they can't afford to recreate other places, to now pay to use something that is a public asset already. But we had a plan, and the plan was to take that revenue and use it as matching funds for grants and strategic investments in things that people are willing to come and pay for. And so about a year ago, we shot for before Memorial Day weekend last year, we were able to remove those day-use parking fees. We had strategically invested in some assets that people are willing to pay for. And now the Parks Department has a budgeted revenue of about $8 million a year, and we're able to sustain the department just on revenues developed from within the department. It's no longer dependent upon taxpayers' funding. It's all user fees, and it's no more day-use parking fees.
So where are these user fees coming from?
Well, the user fees now come from campsites mostly. We have invested in a new RV park. It used to be called Discovery Point RV Resort over at Winchester Bay. We've changed the name to Umpqua Dunes. Since we purchased that park, we've remodeled half of it. We just got a grant and signed a contract to renovate the other half. So a lot of camping revenue coming in from different places. We invested in a campground at Whistler's Bend also, and pavilion rentals and all of those sorts of things.
For commissioners, you all have liaison assignments along with parks. What are some of the other ones you've worked on?
So I have parks and land and juvenile, the juvenile department. I'm on the local public safety coordinating council. I'm the chair of that. Gosh, I can't even remember the whole list right now, but those are the most important ones.
So what are some of the things in some of those other areas that you're happy to have accomplished?
Yeah, so the Local Public Safety Coordinating Council is one that's required by the state in order to receive money from the Criminal Justice Commission that's designed to reduce recidivism. And it is attached to really everything criminal in the community, including homelessness, drug abuse, our local drug court program, and our RSAT program, which is a residential substance abuse treatment program that happens inside the jail, are all part of the work that LIPSC does. And I would strongly encourage people who get discouraged by the amount of homelessness and the amount of drug addiction to make it a point to go to a Douglas County Drug Court graduation. I just was at one last week. I think I've made it to every one. I might have missed one. I make it a priority to go. The people that are graduating from that program and the kids that are associated with those people and the parents and the friends and loved ones and the alumni that have graduated from those programs and become contributing members of society are just absolutely the high point of my career.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Your candidate interview with Douglas County Commissioner Chris Boyce running for another term in position 3. The interview, a podcast after 1. at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1. David Littlejohn with True Wealth, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. Inside Douglas County tomorrow, Brady Mulberry of Roseburg Forest Products, president and CEO, will join us for an update on that company. Candidate interview today, Douglas County Commissioner Chris Boyce, incumbent position 3, running for re-election. You probably get this question periodically, and maybe more so during an election cycle. How would you describe the role of a county commissioner?
So it's interesting. You know, there's folks out there who believe as a county commissioner we get to just control everything. And as much as we wished we could, that's really not the case. The way Douglas County government's set up, the three county commissioners are really the county administrators of the county. So the majority of our role is administrative in nature. And we work with the department heads to make sure that the departments are headed the right direction, that the budgets are being followed, all of those things. And we can get down into, you know, as deep as we want to go with day-to-day activities, although we really don't manage at that level. But then there's some policy-making decisions that we do as well. And aside from that, there's even a small judicial role that a county commissioner plays sometimes in, like, a land use application. But overall, nobody really knows what a county commissioner does until they've done it. And I would say there's a saying that we have at AOC, Association of Oregon Counties, that once you've seen one county, you've seen one county. Meaning that they all sort of operate a little bit differently, and I don't expect that that's different for us. But our role is very broad. We can be, you know, kind of minding our own business, working on internal processes and things one day, and be in the middle of a raging forest fire or some other tragedy the next day. And the county plays a role in public safety, obviously, aside from the sheriff, because we have emergency management, and we also work with all the federal agencies like FEMA and the Red Cross and all these other different agencies that come in and help us during these tragedies. So it's a very diverse job, very diverse role. It takes a lot of different skill sets in order to be able to do it. And it's something that until you really study it deeply or do it yourself, you just don't know what the job entails.
What do you think a big misconception is about what commissioners do?
Oh, I think the majority of the misconception comes from how much power control we have over everything. You know, during COVID, a lot of folks wanted us to tell the state what to do. And as much as we'd love to be able to do that, we just don't have that capacity. And, you know, even people think that we have control over the federal government. A lot of times we wish we would there too. But we're in those two different cases. We're an advocacy role for the most part. I mean, we lobby the state and the federal government for our citizens to do what's best for us. We work as hard as we can on those issues, but we just don't have control over everything. And people get their local governments confused. You know, they call us about city issues and want us to control city issues. So it's a process. And mostly when people call the office and they have a concern, we listen to their concern. And then there's an education piece that goes along with that to explain to them, you know, what we do, what we don't do, and how we can help them and connect them to the right people or whatever.
For Douglas County, it's been a past several years of a lot of tough situations. It seems like we've kind of gone from one to another in all different spheres of life. And for the pandemic, the last couple of years, one of the big issues was the business community. Talk about what you were involved in doing to try to help out there.
Yeah, so not a lot of people know this, but I was actually very successful in making a change for the business community on a statewide level. So I called the governor one day and told her that I had an idea, and I thought it would be good for her to consider taking the restrictions that she had placed on, remember we were in that risk level where we were low, moderate, extreme, or whatever, and in the extreme category, the businesses had to be closed and all these horrible things. And I convinced her to change that so that the extreme category was related to hospital bed availability rather than case count. At the time, people were being vaccinated, people were catching COVID, and they were healing from it, which there was a question about whether or not that was as good as a vaccination. But the death rate was very low, and so having the businesses closed related to case count didn't make a lot of sense. And she was gracious enough to listen to that suggestion, and she implemented that change about 2 weeks later. And what that did was give every business in the state of Oregon the opportunity to be open at some capacity at that time. And so we advocated for local control and business to be able to stay open and all these things. But that was one small area where I happened to be successful that allowed businesses in our community to remain open even at times when we would have been in the extreme category based on case count.
What about the role of the board in working with the state and the federal officials, especially on the timber issues?
Yeah, you know, that's really difficult because politically we're not necessarily aligned with our state and federal representatives. State representatives not so much, but federal representatives certainly. On the other side of the aisle, it's always been important for us to maintain a good working relationship with those folks, no matter how much we disagree. But as far as the feds go, you know, we tried to play nice for a really long time, and we finally just got to the point where, under our leadership, we decided that we had to play offense instead of defense. And so we filed a lawsuit against the federal government for the management plan of the ONC Timberlands, and we ended up winning that lawsuit. The judge who heard that case just recently issued another ruling giving the BLM 18 months to rewrite that management plan. It's going to mean a stable financial future for Douglas County that we did not have before we did that work.
And what about what the county has done relating to post-Archie Creek?
Yeah, so there's been a lot there. It's almost too much to list. But the first thing we did is we made a commitment to all the people that lost their homes in the Archie Creek fire that if they had a home there, they were going to be able to have one again. And some of you would think that might be fairly common sense, but some of the rules that have come into play since those homes were built the first time would preclude that. But we fought hard to make sure that that wasn't the case. We also waived all the county's building fees so that those people didn't have to have a bunch of money out of pocket in order to get their building projects going again. And we found a way to pay for what the state would normally charge in those situations. But before all that, you know, the worst day probably of my political career was the commissioners and the assessor and the sheriff and a few others had a meeting in Glide where when that area was first reopened to the public, where those folks came in and we all worked different tables, and they would walk up to us and tell us their name and their address, and we'd look it up on a list of paper and tell them whether or not they had lost their home. And that was just brutal.
Yeah, that was a hard night for a lot of people. Word got out to me and a couple of folks that I knew about as well. And we'd seen all the information throughout the day. We'd been kept informed. We were putting the information out there. But, you know, you always hold out hope that maybe that's not going to be the case. But there wasn't a lot of good news that night.
No, it was brutal. It really was. And the responses from people were all across the board. And just one of the hardest things you ever have to do is look somebody in the eye and tell them that everything that they ever had in life is gone.
What about for commissioners of other counties? How much do you talk with other county leaders to see, you know, maybe you learn from them?
A lot, actually, and that's sort of what AOC is about. But, you know, we don't always agree with the other counties' positions on issues either. So, you know, we have counties that are sort of like-minded, if you will, that we spend a lot of time talking to, and then others that aren't so much. And we have counties that share the same issues and concerns that we have. And then we also have counties that, you know, they're more of a city type environment throughout the county border, and we don't share issues with them quite as much. And, you know, when you first become a county commissioner, the Association of Oregon Counties and the county college that they put on is somewhat useful in learning sort of, you know, what organizations do what, but it's more useful in building relationships with other commissioners from around the state that you're going to be able to call your colleagues and lean on for help throughout your entire career.
So what are some of your goals if you're reelected?
Yeah, I got some really important projects that I'm working on right now that I want to see through. And one of them is we just started construction on a It's a double RV dump station over at the coast. And we had to close the RV dump station that we had when we opened the RV resort expansion. So we're going and making an investment there to reopen that. It's going to help all of our facilities at the coast. I'm in the middle of a dredging project that's just going to be fantastic. One of the hurdles in trying to keep Salmon Harbor dredged is the fact that the permit required us to take the dredge spoils and haul them 3 miles out into the ocean on a barge and dump them. And just the expense of that's ridiculous. And then trying to piggyback on like someone else's contract to dredge. So we're going to take that whole process in-house, control it ourselves. The goal is to build a retaining wall in part of the harbor that doesn't need to be water and actually dump dredge spoils on site and create more usable land in adjacent to the RV resort so that we can actually build or create our own buildable commercial space within the harbor using dredge spoils from inside the harbor.
If somebody wants to find out more about some of your ideas and get connected, what's the best way to do that?
Anyway, I've got my cell phone numbers posted for anybody to reach. It's 541-430-8699. You can reach me at my email at the courthouse, which is Boyce, B-O-I-C-E, at co.douglas.or.us, or you can call the office, 541-440-4201.
All right, Douglas County Commissioner Chris Boyce running for re-election. Thanks for coming in.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
1259 Inside Douglas County News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.